This is for the record. 10 years ago this month.
The story is breaking at this hour. Hurricane Katrina, the monster storm bearing down on New Orleans, coastal Mississippi, and coastal Alabama.
For the record today, Hurricane Katrina's mark on one family 10 years later. We're going to introduce you to two sisters who lived through the storm and its aftermath, and you'll hear that sometimes they remember things differently. That matters because how they think about this storm has had a very real impact on the lives they have led since. Here's their story.
My name is Talitha Halley. I'm 22 years old.
My name is Regina Halley. I live in Houston, Texas. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm 33 years old.
The Halley family had recently moved out of the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans into a new house on Spain Street. Regina watched her little sister full-time while their mom worked as a professional caregiver. During the days leading up to the storm, Regina was paying close attention to the news.
Let's get right into the Gulf of Mexico, still tracking and monitoring the path and the progress and the strengthening of Hurricane Katrina.
I have followed it since it got in the Gulf because something about that storm rubbed me the wrong way.
The weather alerts kept getting more serious. The girls started to get worried. Their mom was at work and the family didn't have a car. Regina stayed glued to the TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I had better news for you, but we are facing a storm that most of us have feared.
The mayor came on and said, let this be your last resort. If you don't have nowhere to go, nowhere, no neighbor can't take you, nobody can take you, and you have nowhere to go, you can come to the Superdome.
When their mom finally got home, Talitha says they packed up a few things and they left for the Superdome.
I thought that it was kind of a big deal, but that we'd be able to go home maybe in a couple of days. So in my suitcase, I packed a teddy bear that I had gotten that summer, my new school shoes, which were a pair of Adidas, and just a few change of clothes.
They found a city bus that was headed to the Superdome, and they got on, hoping they were moving towards safety. But the scene when they arrived was overwhelming. Thousands of people were lined up outside. Talitha, Regina, and their mom waited for 7 hours before they finally got in the Superdome. And while the desperation was visible everywhere, Talitha, who was just 12 at the time, didn't see it.
I felt like it was a big party in the beginning. My friends were there, my brother's friends and my sister's friends were there, and people from my neighborhood that, you know, I've grown up around, I've been around them my entire life.
You know, you got to see a few people you know, and it was okay.
This is Regina.
By, let's say, 2 o'clock in the morning, it was a third world country.
More than 20,000 people are still packed inside in sweltering corridors and in arena seats, eating MREs and waiting to go home. They've been told they could be here all week.
Both sisters remember how their mother clicked into survival mode, especially when the storm ended and everyone expected to just go home. Here's Talitha.
I can honestly say I don't really remember her sleeping much while we were there. But instead, she just, like, walked back and forth from us to where the buses were supposed to be to see if they were ever coming.
Their mother was obsessed with finding a way out. And eventually, Regina says her mom started to lose her grip on reality.
She'll come wake us up out of our sleep and tell us, come on, come on, let's go get in the line. They say the buses is coming. Come on, come on, let's go, let's go. And I say, Mom, I was like, no, bus is not coming.
Regina knew it was up to her to get them through this. Day after day passed, the conditions inside the Superdome continued to deteriorate. Talitha remembers small pieces of the ceiling falling on her, and going to the restroom was nauseating.
If you can imagine, even after a few hours at a football game or a basketball game, or even a concert, restrooms are horrific by the end of the night. So could you imagine that for 7 days?
Regina remembers the sinks in these restrooms, the big bowl sinks you see at sports stadiums, the kind a lot of people can use at the same time. She remembers one particular trip to the bathroom. She went with Talitha.
And then when came out, I said, oh, let's go back and wash our hands. So when we got ready to get to the bowl, they have 2 children in the bowl. Their ages had to be between 3 and 5. It was a little boy and a little girl. And they were face down. They can't be alive. So we ran out the bathroom and they had a guard that was standing, like I want to say about maybe 20 feet away. And I told him, I say, hey, they got two children that's in the bowl in the bathroom. He said, okay. And so me and Talitha, she's looking like, that's all you're going to say is okay. So I told him again, I said, maybe I'm not explaining it right. There are two children face down in a pool of water in the bathroom. It took them 3 days to come get those kids.
I asked Talitha if she remembered that happening.
Do you remember finding those two kids? Your sister told a story about finding two kids who were in the bathroom, their faces down in a pool of water.
No, I don't remember that.
The chaos that unfolded in the Superdome was widely reported. The conditions were horrible. The experience was traumatic. But 10 years later, it's still hard to determine exactly how many people died there. Accounts vary. In surveying half a dozen different reports, we found the number ranges between 6 and 10. It's impossible to verify Regina's story, and we couldn't find any reference to children in those reports. But there is no doubt that Regina Halle believes that is exactly what she saw, and it's haunted her ever since. As we just heard, her younger sister Talitha has no memory of such an event. She's also far less traumatized by the storm. What Talitha does remember is getting out. After 7 days in the Superdome, the buses finally came.
And everybody was just, you could see a sense of relief, but so much pain and kind of a lot of people just in shock.
They arrived in Houston. Volunteers were there to help. They were given food and clothes.
I remember just feeling clean. We hadn't even taken showers, but just the feeling of being able to put on fresh underwear and a new change of clothes. It was everything in that moment.
The Halle sisters had a relative who lived in Houston, their aunt, so they had a home base until they figured things out. They knew they weren't going back to New Orleans. Talitha got settled into a middle school.
And I think once I got into that school and I was like, okay, this is not so bad. And so that's when I realized that it would have been okay, that the new life was going to be fine.
That is not how Regina felt. When did you finally start to feel like you were going to be okay?
I still don't feel like I'm okay. Like, for us, tomorrow never came. We were supposed to go back to our house. My sister was able to push through. I don't even know how she was able to cope with it as a child. Or maybe her coping was to move forward and not let it stop her. But in me and my mom's case, it's totally different. Still to this day, if it's raining, my mom, she still packs a suitcase. She goes through the cabinets and get all her canned food and put it in a suitcase, and she sits it by the door.
Regina still lives in Houston with her mom, but she's not happy there.
I don't like Houston at all. Not to say I hate them. It's just that it's not home.
She misses New Orleans. The food, the music, everything. So does Talitha, but she feels differently about her adopted city.
Houston is a part of me, most definitely. And I love it more than anything.
This is just another indication of how differently each woman reflects back on the storm. Talitha sees it as a horrible thing that happened to her family and so many others, but they survived. Life went on and she thrived. Talitha did well in school. This past spring, she graduated from Howard University and she just moved to Baltimore to start a new job. Her sister Regina is still figuring things out. She's trying to look forward. She's training to become a barber, and she sees a therapist to work through the trauma she suffered during the storm. Talitha doesn't spend as much time looking back.
Do you ever talk with your sister or your mom about the storm?
Vaguely. Mm-hmm. Never in depth. Mm-hmm. They're small conversations, but it's never, let's have this big conversation about mm-hmm. how we feel and you know, where we think we're going and different things like that. It's a touchy topic.
Me and her have our little bits and pieces.
This is Regina.
It's still hard for her to talk about. You know, Talitha has been sheltered. You know, she was the baby, so anything her little heart desired, we were on it. But as far as in her talking about the stay in the Superdome and all that different stuff, she don't talk about that. And maybe she goes through it on her own, but I think she just kind of blocks it out. And maybe that's a good thing for her, because she's stronger than I am now.
Regina Halley and her younger sister, Talitha Halley. NPR will have stories all this month about how New Orleans and the Gulf Coast are getting on 10 years after Hurricane Katrina.